Let's just think about that passage from Exodus for a few moments and the wonderful story of these midwives and then this mother and the example that they set. And you can imagine, you know, in that particular time, you know, when Pharaoh gave an instruction, then he was like a god, and to defy, you know, to defy the will that was coming down, and for these midwives to refuse to kill these babies, what a brave act it was. Defiance of power that they knew to be wrong, a refusal to bow the knee, willingness to stand out against the flow. I think these are all remarkable qualities, and ones which, in a sense, are brought to the forefront in Matthew's gospel as well, because we have Jesus going to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And it's an interesting place. Caesarea Philippi had been named Panaeus in honour of the Greek god Pan, and there was a monument to Pan in the city. Rome had then conquered the entire area and it became under Roman rule, and of course then you've got this kind of Roman authority which is there, and statues to Augustus Caesar, and so you have all these powers and worship focuses in Caesarea Philippi. And it's in that place that Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And it's for the disciples then to think, well, you know, to what do they bow the knee? Where is the importance, the focus of their lives? Who do you say I am? And it comes down the ages, that question, doesn't it, to each one of us? Who do you say I am? And where do we stand in relation to Christ? You know, who do we think Jesus really is? And what influence, what credence, what importance do we establish to him? And it's a wonderful passage. It talks about the gates of Hades. We always think about sort of the powers of hell. These are gates, the gates of Hades, and the keys being given. No place. Gates are not there to attack. Gates are there to either keep things in or keep things out. And here's the power of God at work, even against Hades itself. But I want you to think about that confession of Peter and what Peter said in this context today. I mean, to us, saying Messiah doesn't mean very much. We haven't grown up with Judaism and all the Old Testament understandings and what have you. And in our society today, people haven't got much clue about titles like Christ and Messiah. It's very interesting listening. I just heard the radio before I came out this morning. I think Tony Blair was on, wasn't he, talking about the lack of moral focus in society. Did any of you hear that? No, well, you'll probably get it all when you go home on the news. You know, where do people's values, what do people worship, to what do people bow the knee today? You know, we're not in Caesarea Philippi, but we are surrounded by competing forces which challenge us where our focus for life really is. And you know, Tony Blair's saying, you know, that we've lost our morality in the country. Well, where does our morality come from? I mean, for many people, if we're honest, because we often say it's a Christian country. It isn't a Christian country at all, is it? That the United Kingdom, it was a Christian country. Historically, lots of our structures are built around the Christian faith. But now we're very much a secular country. And lots of different faiths, kind of with competing voices. Where does our moral focus come from? Where do we get our standards from? To what do we bow the knee? And most people, their standards, if we're honest, they come to them mostly from the television and from advertisements. And you look at where people base their values. The prime times of their lives, and they're watching the television, the most expensive things which are bought, those advertisements, give people their values, and they establish what is normal in people's lives. so that the advertising agencies tell us what's important, what matters. I get really cross about advertisements. You know that one about Sky Multiroom? That one wound me up over the weekend. You know, it says you can all, and it shows a picture of a house at the end, and it's got sort of four rooms, and all the members of the family each in their own room watching their own telly. And I think, you know, it's no wonder we've got fragmented society, is it? We're all sitting in our rooms watching Sky Multiroom. But it's worse than that. It tells us about the important things. The important things are things like pursuit of wealth and pursuit of beauty. And women, for instance, it's men as well, but largely women are led to believe that what they have to do is spend lots and lots and lots of time and money on looking a certain way, a pursuit for a certain sort of appearance. And of course, we have all the models who are held out as examples of this, and the models are told that they have to be really thin. And so, you know, it's no surprise that we have lots and lots of people with eating disorders, because they're all trying to be like these models. And of course, the models themselves can't be that thin, so even some of them die because they're not eating properly. Because personalities can't achieve this thinness, they have to use Photoshop. If you're not into computers and things, Photoshop is a way that you get the picture, and if someone's a bit wrinkly, you sort of, you know, smooth it out with a computer program and make them look thinner. So you know, Keira Knightley has to be really, really thin, because she's so thin, she's got no bust, so they have to use Photoshop to give her an increased bra size afterwards. The pursuit of beauty is such that they have to be completely flawless. You know, they're not even allowed to have pores. Cindy Crawford famously said, "I wish I looked like Cindy Crawford." Because, you know, you can't be like you're presented. And it's not just beauty, it's about wealth. It's about pursuit of happiness is linked to what sort of brands you wear and what sort of things you have and your amassing of certain types of material possessions. And, you know, it's no wonder that our countries face these incredible riots and what have you, because all of these, you know, hoodies, when they're sitting in their individual little bedrooms with no parental sort of oversight, being pumped these messages that you have to have certain brands. I mean, you know, when they went rioting, they didn't go for Poundland. You know, they went for the certain brands and things, didn't they? You know, things that you have to have. And, of course, no one's ever told them that it's really wrong to do this or why it would be wrong to do this. And when they look at society, they see the politicians on the take and the police on the take and the newspapers on the take and all of the authorities and places that perhaps you would find some kind of goodness, of good folk, because they're all disappeared. And it's in this situation that somehow the church has to make sense of the world in which we live and give a message which allows our Lord to speak to our society. And that's what we're about in this passage today. We're asking ourselves, who do you say I am? And we have to get that clear focus of what is important in life. You know, where does real beauty lie? If you want real beauty, it's not skin deep. You look at Christ. That's beauty, the way in which he lived. Standard thing. If you want truth, you look at his life. If you want to know what good teaching and good morality is, you look at his life. Who do you say I am? You're the model. You're the model. It's like saying Messiah. If we say that, people won't understand what we're talking about. Christ is the model upon which we should base our lives and our morality and our judgment and the way we behave towards one another. That's who we say he is. He makes sense for our world, our society, our community. It's to him that we look for our values, the ways that we live our lives, the way in which we try to bring up our children. This is the focus for us. And it's very, very difficult for us today with all of these, you know, big challenges around us which are fed through television and all the rest of it. But it was difficult in the time of Peter as well. He was surrounded by this in Caesarea Philippi. And he refused to bow the knee to that. He said, "I'm going to serve Christ." It was hard for those midwives, you know, when they're surrounded by Pharaoh and the might of the Egyptian Empire. But they said, "We're not prepared to bow the knee to that." And you and I must stand up today with the same kind of defiance. The same kind of willingness to stand out and be different. And in that will our Lord's name be known. And in that will true change and be enabled for our society. Amen.